Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
Everyone is very welcome, and we thank God for your lives. We have a word from the living God today that we titled, Devil's Weapon, Your Weak Areas. Devil's Weapon, Your Weak Areas. In other words, Satan is going to take advantage of your weak areas. He will use your weak areas as a weapon. And we're going to see these things. So it is important for the believer to come to the point to recognize that if there is any area that I am weak in the world, because when you are weak in Christ, that is where you are strong in the world. But when you are weak in the flesh, that is an area that the devil is definitely going to use to destroy your life. And we also have to remember that, you know, don't think that you are strong, that you will be able to face all situations by yourself. This is the reason why Proverbs 3:5 talks about trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge God. In all thy ways you have to acknowledge God. So anything that comes on your way, you have to push it on the side of Almighty God. Because by default, we are born in the world with the Adamic nature. All human beings, everyone that is born the fallen state. And we inherited that fallen state from the Adam, the fall of man in the garden just right there. So we are to come as Christ has been given as the solution to change that nature of the fallen state to a nature of life, which can only be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the fallen state is a state where man comes to the point of knowing himself as all-knowing man, knowing good and evil in all circumstances. He trusts in himself. He relies in his abilities, his knowledge. This one I know it is good. This one I know it is not good. God never intended for man to live that way. God intended for man to trust in him and lean on his Holy Spirit for his leadings. That was the intention of Almighty God. And none of us can ever come before the Lord boldly and say that we have no sin. We make God a liar. We are sinning even when we have come to know Jesus Christ, that we are in Christ. We are sinning every single day. Sin that we are sinning with our eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, and all that, the ears, the mouth. We are sinning, constantly sinning. That is why he said, pray without ceasing. But every time we come and stand in prayer, we ask God for forgiveness of sins that we have committed. So let us not deceive ourselves. We have something, you have something, I have something within my life that I have to submit unto Almighty God as an area of weakness, sin, for God to help me deal with it, because you cannot by yourself overcome sin. It is by the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. It is by the help of the Holy Ghost that you can overcome something that you consider to be as, oh, this is not important, something that is little. But it is that thing that Satan is going to use to destroy your life. That is why we come before Almighty God to get this wonderful wisdom to live our lives and become better people, as the Lord God has called us to be like the Son, Jesus Christ. So number one, we're going to say that we have to deal with the sins that dwell in our flesh. And only God knows that everyone and each one of us, as I was saying, when you have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we are born again. We are born again, but we are of the nature of Adam, the Adamic nature, a fallen state. We're going to have to work our own salvation by the empowerment of the salvation tools that have been given by Jesus Christ. The name Jesus is for us. The blood Jesus is for us. The Holy Ghost is given to us. The cross is given to us. It is all that I consider to be the salvation tools for everyone and each one of us that have called to live the life unto the glory of the living God. Therefore, one has to come to the point to recognize that this particular issue of my life is not going to help me. And we're going to mention a few of them. As great as Apostle Paul was, a man that was taken into the third heavens, he was living and wondering, am I really a human being? Did I go there in this flesh? I saw the third heavens. Things that were revealed unto me that I'm not able to speak these things. I am not allowed to say these things. And this man, passing by his shadow, was healing people. Handkerchief and aprons. Aprons alone taken to all sick people. They were healed. That is how much power God gave to this man. But listen to what he says in Romans 7 and the verses 15 to 25. Apostle Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What I hate, that is what he does. I don't want to do it, but he ends up doing it. So, he said in 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It is no more I, Paul, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We can all, you know, identify ourselves with what Paul is saying. It comes to a point in your life that you are doing something. Something is going on that you know that this area is an area of weakness. You try as much as possible to stop it. You cannot stop it. And in that case, you have to come to recognize, as Paul has come to recognize, that I have come to know that it is not me, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin that dwelleth in me. The state of recognition is very important so that you can deal with it by submitting it unto Almighty God. Verse 18 of Romans 7, we continue. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So one that is living in the flesh, there is nothing good that comes out of you. Because in the flesh, there is nothing good that dwells in the flesh. That is what Paul said here. So a man that is living in the flesh, you are just living in carnality. It will take a higher level of fellowship, a life in the spirit, to be able to overcome the sin that dwelleth in the flesh. Come up higher. There is nothing good that dwelleth in the flesh. The reason why he's saying that, he said, for to will is present with me. In other words, he wants to do good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do good. I can see that if I can do this, it is good for me. I can see that if I can stop this particular thing that I do all the time, that is not glorifying God. I know this. I don't need anyone to tell me that this particular thing in my life, it is not good. I want to stop it. I try it, but it's not working. I have to recognize that it is something that is in me, in the flesh, and I am struggling with this. Verse 19, he said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now we have such an amazing addition. Not only he knows that doing this is good, but he also knows that there is a knowledge of evil, as he has the knowledge of doing good. But now the choice is that not only he is not able to do good, but he finds himself doing what he doesn't want himself to be doing. In other words, he finds himself doing the opposite of what he wants to do. There is a power here. There is power in sin. There is power in sin. You don't want to sin, but there is something that pushes you to commit sin. He said, I don't want to do it, but I end up getting it done. And what I end up doing, it is not the good part of it. So, in order for a child of God to be doing good, there has to be a power that pushes him towards good things. Because sin itself that dwelleth in the flesh is exercising power over the believer and bringing him to do what he doesn't want to do. But for the believer to do good, he finds no power. It's not there is no power. There is a power. But until a man has come in line to the source of power that pushes you to do good, it will be very difficult for one by his own flesh to do good. But it is easy for one in the flesh to constantly sin against God. Because the power in sin is a power in the flesh that pushes man to sin against God. To sin against God. Knowing this, in verse 20, he said, now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay. He's now identified that he can see that there are two individuals operating within himself. I can see what I'm going through, but I can also see that I want to do this. I am not capable, but I end up doing bad, the opposite of what I want to do. And now he's saying, I just come to find out that it is not me, but the same sin in the flesh that is working against my life. So in 21, he said, I find then a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. When I will do good, when I am intending to do good, when I have in mind to do good, there is evil that is present. He shows up. Every time that you want to do good, evil, a spirit will just show up. Shows up right in your thoughts, in your heart, in your intention to stop you from doing good. And instead of doing good, you end up turning your good to be bad. That is what the man is going through. So, in 22, he said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Well, since he just said that, he had come to the conclusion that the act of willing to do good, ending him to do bad, is a law. It's a law. But there is another law that is also working against this law that brings him to do evil when he wants to do good. These two laws are operating. In John 1:17, Jesus Christ said, it is said that the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But Romans 6:14 talks about sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You are under grace. So now, it is very interesting because in Romans 8:2, he said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had set me free from the law of sin and death. Combining all the scriptures together, we can clearly see that there is two laws that are operating against the act of man, the willingness of man. When man is willing to do something, he's automatically confronted with two laws. One law, which is the law of sin and death, that is the law that was given by Moses. And another law that leads to life in Christ Jesus, the law that is in Christ Jesus. So it is your choice of operation of law, which law are you choosing to operate, that is going to bring forth the type of victory, the type of victory leading to your choice. In other words, if you choose to live your life by the law in Christ Jesus, which contains the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to help you do whatever that you want to do, Satan will not have any power to overcome the empowerment of the Spirit of God. So if you intend to do good, automatically the Holy Spirit will empower you, block any avenue of the devil to lead you to do evil when you intend to do good. The choice of the believer here is extremely important. The outcome of your life is a choice that is linked to two laws that are operating in this life here. But, you know, obviously, when you have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, we are expecting that you will be living with only one law, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But obviously, the other law, the law of Moses, the law in the flesh, the sin that is in the flesh, is also battling against this law in Christ Jesus. And the man gonna have to be strong and be alert and sensitive to every single thing that is happening in your life, especially our weaknesses, areas that we know that we are weak. It might open the door for the enemy to come in and cancel every law that we are operating with. He said in 22 that I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That is the spirit man. He delights in the law in Christ Jesus. But verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That is what we have been saying. I choose to operate my life, to live my life by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But I also see the law of sin that is dwelling in my members and pushing me to go against what God really wants me to do, or to do the good thing. Please, let every one and each one of us be extremely sensitive to these things, because that is where we are having all our issues. These areas, we're going to be talking about different examples, but you know yourself, your weaknesses. So Apostle Paul, after analyzing all this, come to the point to find out that there is a war, ongoing on war in my life. A war. Verse 24. Facing all this, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's seeking for solution. He's seeking for solution. Now here comes, in 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the solution. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I am looking into the solution. I thank God for Christ Jesus. With the mind, I serve the law of God. With the mind, I'm thinking to do good. But with the flesh, the law of sin, which is leading to death, I don't want to do it. That is my decision in the mind, which goes in line with the will or with the law of Christ. But the flesh, even though my mind said, I do not want to do it, the flesh, the almost, the desires, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, pushes this body to go and fornicate, to go and do what I do not want to do. This is what Apostle Paul is saying about himself, his state of life. How much more is? I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about men, great men of God, people that walk close with God and could not watch their weaknesses, could not bring their weaknesses under the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of them, you know, we are standing on the better covenant. We are standing on the better covenant. Apostle Paul was operating with the Holy Ghost. And that is why he said that I thank God for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has provided me with all that I need to be able to overcome it. But in only one condition, that I bring my weaknesses under the power of the Holy Ghost. I submit in humility my life in the Holy Ghost control. I don't trust my flesh, but I trust in the leading of the Holy Ghost, in the power of the living God. Under all circumstances, I am not going to bring my carnalities in there, but I will trust the leadings of Almighty God to make the right decision and to do the right thing for my life. In my examples, let me start with King Saul. King Saul's weaknesses. His weakness was simply that he loved the praises of men. King Saul, the reason why Saul fell, it is because he loved the praises of men. When people are praising him, and only God knows that we have up to date Christians that love to see the praises, standing and taking honor for himself. Some of them just want to grab the glory that is designed to God for themselves. This is what we are talking about. It's an area that you have to watch, because Satan automatically bringing pride in your life, you become God's enemy. And that is what happened to Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and the verses 22, it says, Saul, he said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Let me explain this. This is the word that came from, you know, Prophet Samuel to King Saul. Because Saul wants to always put himself out there and be able to receive the praises from people. Instead of obeying God, that is where this famous scripture that we are always talking about, to obey is better than sacrifice. That's where it comes from. Because Paul simply failed to deal with that weakness that was in his life. He was self-willed. He was self-willed. And he lacked, you know, the control of this life and just living in the sight of people. What people are going to say. And when people are saying things, praising him, he thinks that he's on top of all. He was a king already. He was a king. What else that you would need from people? God himself took you out there. But you see, when it comes to sin that is dwelling, weakness that is in life, that is exactly what we are talking about. Because no matter what state you are, it is still going to operate. Even in the fullness, when you have it all, you are still thinking that you lack it. And you're going to operate. It's a weakness. It's an area that is very bad. And you need to work it out with the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Because otherwise, devil will destroy you through that area. Will destroy your family through that area. Will destroy your marriage through that area. Will destroy your children through that area. Will kill you and bury you through the same area. Or weaknesses. But it's very interesting. You know, sometimes we take this pride saying that, oh, this is my weakness. This is my weakness. Like we are boasting of it. There is nothing to be boasting of because it is going to kill you. My second example is a man called Gehazi. Prophet Elisha's servant. This man, his problem was covetousness and lies. Covetousness and lies. One that is never content in life. And the result of that, you know, covetousness, it links with lies. They go together. Anyone that is always willing to, I wish I have this, I wish I have that. So, you know, and I will even say that the praises of men is always, you know, is also behind it. Because in your willingness to have everything that people have, you want them to know that you are somebody when you are nobody. So you end up lying about what you don't have. Covetousness and lies, they go together. This was the case of this man, Gehazi. Working with the great prophet of God, Elisha. The background story, we all know this. When Elisha healed Naaman from his leprosy, Naaman brought gift unto the prophet Elisha. Elisha said, don't worry about your gift. Go, God healed you. The servant ran after Naaman and collect every single thing that he wanted to bring to the prophet. Lying that the prophet asked him to come and collect it. Simply because his eyes have seen these things and the blink, 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 blink. Devil said that, hey, run, 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 go and get it. He ran for it. So when he came back, after he has collected those things from Naaman, Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 5 and the verses 25 to 27, listen to the conversation here. So he went in and stood before his master. Gehazi, when he came back, he came to the house and stood before Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, whence camest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Gehazi, where are you coming from? Oh, I was just around. I didn't come from nowhere. I was just around, Master. He was lying right there. Because the man of God have come to see that Gehazi have collected what he refused to take from Naaman. And Gehazi is lying. Gehazi, where are you coming from? I'm coming from nowhere, Master. I was just at the corner. And he said unto him, Elisha said unto Gehazi, wench not mine heart with thee when the man turn again from his chariots to meet thee. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servant and maid servant? Is it a time to collect? Gehazi, is it a time to collect? This scripture is also telling you, my dear brother, my dear sister, is this a time, this dispensation that we are in, this particular moment of your life, is this a time for you to collect? Is this a time for you to covet? Is this a time for you to continue lying? Is this a time for you to bring yourself up and up and up and up up there? Is this the time? Is this moment of your life? Is this the time to collect, to covet? Is it? There is a time for everything. Where you are not, don't think that you will not be there. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. What you desire today, that is not what God wants you to have at this moment. Probably he has greater things for you. But it's not just for now. It's not for now. For now, what you have, that is what the Lord has given you. Living in a state of contentment will automatically avoid any covetousness in life. And it will save your life. It will save your life. The pressure that you are putting on your marriage, the pressure that you are putting on your husband, on your wife, the pressure that you are putting upon yourself, you are going to kill yourself. Please calm down. Calm down. It is not time for those things. It is not time. When the time is right, you will know. When the time is right, you will know. Because God's time, nobody stops it. Because God's time, every single thing that the Lord God has planned for that moment, nothing will stop it. It shall surely come to pass as the Lord God has it written. Is this the time for you to collect those things? Gehazi, as a result of what you have done, this is the judgment upon your life. Verse 27. The leprosy that we healed Naaman from, the leprosy that we healed Naaman from, therefore shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence, a leper as white as snow. This is so interesting. We are all thinking that Gehazi went and collect money and collect, you know, good things. But apparently, he didn't go to collect money. Money was the bait that Satan used to trap his life. He said, the leprosy that we healed Naaman from, Gehazi, you have gone and take it for yourself. Not just for yourself, but also for your children, for your children's children, for your seeds. Gehazi, what you have done, that was so much selfish to you. Look at what you have brought to your generations. You thought that it was a problem that is your only problem. It is something that is just you. It is not. It is not. You are planting something that is going to be impacted to your generations to come. Your children, they will behave the same way. Your children's children, they will have the same thoughts. Your children's children's children, generations to come, and people will be pointing to this family, saying that this family, they are evil people. Please, we don't marry from this family. Another great man of God, Moses. The problem of Moses, the weakness of Moses was anger. Anger. It might sound something that is insignificant, but if your weakness is anger, you're going to have to deal with it by bringing it under the submission of the Holy Ghost. Because otherwise it will destroy you. In the case of Moses, Exodus chapter 2 and the verses 14 to 15. Moses is a man with full of anger. And he end up killing an Egyptian. And he thought that no one have seen it. So, there was a conversation and he came to find out. Somebody told him, Moses, who had made thee prince and a judge over us, one of his own brothers. Moses, you are thinking that you are a prince and a judge. You might be a prince and a judge over those Egyptians, but we, Israelites, you are not. And matter of fact, let me tell you one thing. Are you also intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. The anger that provoked you to do what you did to lose your marriage. By God's grace, you have found another person. This time is the same anger going to come forth again and rule over your life to break your life again. Is this going to happen again? How many times will you let this giant in your life destroying you over and over and over and over? A time comes in a man's life that you say that enough is enough. Enough is enough. Are you coming to do this to me as you kill the Egyptians? The Egyptian, you are also going to kill me with your anger, Moses? Moses said, indeed, this weakness in me is known. This weakness in me is known. Probably you are sitting here and you are thinking that your weakness is not known. But your behaviors to people, they have come to understand that your weakness, it is only you that think that it is something that, you know, that is good. And even you know that it is not good and you are struggling with it, but you are not willing to do anything about it. And it is destroying you. It is destroying your home. It is destroying your life. It is destroying your job place. It is destroying everything that you do. It is destroying you. What are you doing about it? Every single thing has been given. You don't have to remain there. Holy Spirit has been given for you. Just to take away that anger. It's another sin that very destructive. Anger had brought many lives to backward state. Anger. You rise up as a lion within that moment. Some of them, their angers are uncontrollable. You can't stop them. They stand throwing plates against their husbands, pouring glass of water in the faces of their husbands. Some are slapping their women, trashing trashes over their lives. When that anger had come, nothing stopped him from doing whatever that he wants to do. And that moment, it's not, Apostle Paul said, it's not me. It is the sin that dwelleth in my flesh. If you want that sin to go, submit it to the power of the Holy Ghost, and you will come under the Holy Spirit's control. Anger. I am sorry for what I have done. The man has come back to himself. But that sorry will not last for long. Because it will come again. As far as you are not doing anything about it, you are just feeling sorry. But sorry will not fix the problem. The sorry will not fix the problem. The only thing that will fix the problem is that you come to recognize that it's a weakness in your life, that is a loophole for the devil to destroy your life.
that I have to do something about it because I don't want to die. I love you so much, but I am sorry, when this thing comes, I can't control it. Since you know you cannot control it, why don't you allow the Holy Spirit to control it for you? That is what we are saying. You have come to understand that you can't control it. But Jesus came so that the helper will help you. But the helper will not force you. The helper will not just come and take over like that. The Holy Spirit is not forcing anybody and that's not coming in and take. No, until you are willing to release that yoke upon the shoulders of our Lord Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit will get hold of it. So now, I am in control. Anger. Another great man of God. David, and we're going to stop just right here. David's weakness was his inability to control his sexual desire. Inability to control his sexual desire. Are you also having the same type of almost? That as a believer, when this thing has come, you cannot control yourself. Are you struggling with the sexual desires? Unrighteous way of having sex? Second Samuel chapter 12 and the verses 9 to 14. Let me read it and read it all. The background story about David, we all know. David will go with another man's wife, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and sleep with Bathsheba at the time that Uriah, the husband, was at war as a soldier. Because David was a king and he was using his power. And not just that, I would say that it's a weakness that Satan saw that it was in David's life. And David was not doing anything about it. He went and do something that is not pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. So Samuel, 2 Samuel 12, 9 to 14. He said, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, David? Why have you despised the commandment of Almighty God and have done evil in the sight of God? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife Bathsheba to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, David, hear the judgment of the living God. The sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, God, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy own wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. What you did in secret, I the Lord, is going to open a door for people to know everything of you in openly. Hey, this is these are some of the things. Most of the time, sexual desires, sexual sins are always in secret. In secret. Unrighteous way of having relationship outside your marital situations and all that. In secret. God said, what you have done, it has brought, like Gehazi. It has brought much judgment over your home. You killed him with a sword. I'm going to raise up a sword against your home, David. I'll raise up a sword against your home. You lay with Bathsheba in secret. Your own son is going to lay with your wife your concubines also in openly. So in the surface of the sun, everyone will come to find out that this is what your son has done. Now, in verse 12 of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, he said, "For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Naaman, Nathan, which is the prophet of God, David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also had put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die, David." You see, this is son, is God in line with David? That's not the point. The point is that when a man comes to a point to recognize that this is a weakness, as Apostle Paul recognized his weaknesses, he got solution out of it. David said, "I have sinned, and I am meant to die." Nathan said, "God doesn't want you to die, but God needs a repentance heart, a complete U-turn. God needs you, David, to bring your life under the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And you are better, you and I, we are better than David. You and I are better than David, because David was a king, but we thank God because he was a king, he had the empowerment of the Spirit upon. The Holy Spirit will come upon him and he'll be able to do certain things and the Spirit will leave. But you and I, we are having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So if you are a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, and you are comparing yourself in your sins, even David King, a man that God said, he is a man after my own heart. He even sinned and got Bathsheba. So what I'm doing with this woman, this is not something that you should be now complaining about. Hey, stop it. It is going to put you in your grave. If David had probably what you have today, maybe David wouldn't have been in that situation. The point is that we are all human beings. And we are all having our weaknesses. And the Lord knows that is why Jesus Christ came. So that he will help us by the giving of the Holy Spirit to deal with these weaknesses. And turn our weaknesses in victory. Turn our weaknesses to victories. Turn our weaknesses to strength. Turn our weaknesses to empowerment. The same way that the weaknesses are bringing judgment not only upon ourselves, but also upon our seeds, when we are capable to use the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to turn our weaknesses around, it builds strength for our generations to come. What you couldn't do, your children will go beyond it. Where you couldn't reach, your children, they will go beyond it. What you couldn't have, not only God is going to allow you to have a glance of it, but the Lord will make sure that your seed, your children's 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 children, generations to come, they would never beg for bread. Amen. We are not to be comparing ourselves with David, but we are to compare ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are looking unto Jesus only. We are not looking unto any Old Testament saint. We are looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is only the Christ, the image of Jesus, that I can relate to and say that what was found in Jesus, I wish that I can also be able to take when people are saying bad things about me. It wasn't hurting Jesus. Jesus never took any whip. Whipping anyone when they said that you are the son of the devil. Jesus didn't act. When they were treating him, maltreating him, he didn't act. But there were certain things that Jesus, he acted for what is. Touching his God. And we are acting and sensitive and over so many things that people are doing. But it's because we are still operating in the flesh. in the flesh. Let them say whatever that they want to say, but just make sure that it is not true in your life. Sexual sin is destructive. Weakness that the enemy is going to use against you and destroy your life if you are not paying attention to this. David, you will not die. You as a child of God, Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law of Moses, but you are under grace in Jesus Christ. Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses 16, he said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Please don't wait until you fall before you come to God. Don't wait. In other words, do not trust in yourself, but put your trust in God. Lean not unto your own understanding. Can a man put fire on his bosom and not burn? You are playing with fire. You are playing with fire. The Holy Spirit has been given as such a wonderful helper, so that when you call upon the help of the Spirit of God, do you know what you get? Number one, mercy. Number two, the final of all, grace. What is mercy doing to us? Mercy is helping you. Mercy is helping you. Mercy deals with forgiveness. Forgiveness, that's what mercy does. But mercy comes after you have you have failed. Mercy comes after you fail. But we thank God that we are under grace. And grace is available before you fall. Before you fall. That is, you know, such an important element between we who are on the New Testament and they of the Old Testament. New Covenant and Old Covenant. You, before you fall, you still have power to turn the situation around. So we don't wait to fall before we call upon God. We call upon God before we fall. Recognize your weaknesses now and call upon Almighty God for help before it is too late. Let us all of us, from now onwards, I think it is just wisdom for you to be sitting down, for us to be sitting down, for everyone and each one of us to be sitting down and try to identify the areas of weaknesses. Am I having the anger of Moses? Am I having the covetousness and lies of Gehazi? Where do I stand? Am I in sexual habits like David? What is it that I am operating with that might open grave for my life? Then there is a help available to me. Let me call upon the grace of the living God. Calling upon the grace of the living God is calling upon the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to help you deal with it before it is too late. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord bless his word in your life. From now onwards, every single thing that you will identify as a weakness in your life, may you have wisdom and submit it unto the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and you shall surely be delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.